Hey, you probably noticed we didn't pass out any sermon notes today. It's because we're going to do something very different. I've decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick five of you from the audience to come up and share your testimony with everybody. I'm not looking for volunteers. I'm going to pick you. Okay. Actually, I'm not doing that. Like, some people just started sweating profusely in the shade, right? But I will tell you, that's kind of what we do to our missionaries. If you've ever been on a mission trip with us, we meet with them and we say, hey, missionaries, what we want you to do is be ready to give your testimony. So we put everybody in the hot seat. Then we pick people and we say, okay, this morning in the devotionals, you're going to give your testimony. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of fidgeting and there's a lot of, you know, moving around trying to figure it out. Although there are some who are like, let me at them, because they've probably done it before and they're past the fidgeting time. And so as we were in El Salvador this last time, we did the same thing. We had people give their testimony, and then we said to a few people, look, at this revival tonight, you're going to give your testimony. Or in this place, we're asking you, would you share that with this assembly of kids in a school? And as you can imagine, you know, some of those testimonies they're pretty powerful. They have a lot of punch to them, because life isn't always easy. Amen? And some of those testimones, and I've got to tell you, I'm so blessed because I've been on a lot of the mission trips or just got to sit with people and hear their testimonies. And some of those testimonies, they're kind of tearjerkers to a degree. And they're heart warmers and they're encouraging because God has done something to get people through those difficult times. He's done something to help them realize that there is another alternative to the things that they've been through or even the things that they're going through. And I think all of us can relate to that to some degree or another. And I know inside of this room, man, I've heard a lot of testimonies here, and it doesn't matter if it was a terrible home life, some difficult decisions you made, losses you went through, no matter what it is, there are just a lot here that are probably right now spinning their testimony out in their head a little bit, and I hope you come to the same conclusion of what we just sang. All my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you've been so, so good. You know, because, and I didn't know he was going to sing that. We didn't work that out together. It's just beautiful. Like, the Holy Spirit's here. We'll just give him credit, right? But, you know, all my life means all of my life. Even in the hard parts of life, he's been so faithful and so, so good. I think there's some people who get really irritated with that testimony. They hear your testimony and go, and you're worshiping God? Why are you still with the God who would let you do that? We see people all the time say, if God loves us, why does he let these things happen? Well, come back next week. We're going to go through that as we finish in Hebrews 12. There's a lot to unpack there. But I want to focus a little bit more today about what we should do with our testimony, with our current situations, how we should walk in this life. And so, well, I mentioned last week in our mission update that, you know, I had an opportunity just to hear what was going on with our testimonies that were going on in outreach, and that nobody actually had prepared the message. And I said, oh, God, please, just let me do it. And so I had about 10 minutes, and he said, yes. And he took me to a passage or a whole piece of Psalm 27. So if you have a Bible, that's where we're going to go from. You can put your testimony away till next week. We'll have you share it then. This actually comes from David, and if you have the New King James where it's kind of universally got titles over it, the title would be An Exuberant Declaration of Faith, and it's a song written by David. Pretty amazing. We don't know exactly why he wrote this song, like what if there was one event in particular that was kind of spurring this on, but there's two that come to the forefront amongst all the commentators and theologians of what he was probably writing about. And the first is that it might have been the time where he had to run away from Saul. Saul had blown it. God had called David to be the king, told Saul, you're out, but he hadn't made the transition yet. And so now David is trying to relentlessly pursue him to kill him because of jealousy, not thinking at all about the loyalty that David had to him. So you can imagine he's writing this song, and again, the title is an exuberant declaration of faith. The other thing that it could possibly be is when his son Absalom rebels against him and really creates havoc and a war. A lot of people are going to die, And David's son conspired against him, forcing him to flee Jerusalem. And so even in this one, not only is it military conflict, but it's family betrayal. And I know none of you can possibly relate with that, wink, wink. But I say that to say, this really should speak to all of us. Like, you don't have to be in a war, but you can be in a war. You don't have to be betrayed by family, but it could be betrayal of family. It could be that somebody doesn't see your faithfulness and moves spitefully against you anyway. And the question would be, would you sit down then and pen a song, if you were to write a song, of exuberant declaration of faith of God? Because I hope you would, right? And so I'm going to just go through this, and we're going to walk through these pieces together, and I hope they kind of speak to your heart, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit does here today. So verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Three really important pieces to grab there. Light, salvation, strength. He's all that. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat me up, or the translation I like better is devour me. That's the idea here. And they come to devour my flesh. My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. I mean, it's a pretty powerful declaration, right? He's talking about all the things we're trying to avoid in life. All those conflicts, all those difficulties, all those betrayals, everything. And he then brings it all back to this really important piece. God, I haven't been consumed because of you. And guess what? I know that even though I talk about some of your testimonies and the things that you've gone through, you haven't been consumed. You know how I know? Because you're here, right? You might have a little singe mark here, there, or a scar here, there, you know, a little bald spot here, there. I speak from experience. But you're here. You haven't been consumed. And even when the flesh finally does give up, you're still not consumed. You're delivered to home, right? So we're still here. You're still standing. How? I think that's a great question. How? Because, again, I know many of your stories. I know my own story. I know the stories that I've helped other people create that aren't the glorious part of their story, right? We all have that part. How are you still here? Well, you have surely been in some battles that you should not have come through. Can you testify to that? I mean, I look back at some times and go, I shouldn't have survived that. I shouldn't have got through that okay. My relationship with this person shouldn't have made it. My position shouldn't have held. I should be done. I should be under the ground. And you've probably heard other people say to you at moments like, how did you get through that? Or how are you doing this currently? Could be for you now, right? Can I get an amen? You can be a little Pentecostal today, right? You can say amen, amen, right? Because I think that's true. And there's some things that literally, if you just go back and think about them, you should not have won the battle. But you have, because you've had help. You've had help. And you had help before you were a believer in Jesus Christ. And I really do pray that you are a believer in Jesus Christ today. And if not, would you do it now? Would you call out on him? Just do it, right? But even before then, you had help. I think I've shared this story before, so I'm young and dumb. Now I'm just old and dumb, but I was young and dumb, and I'm driving my car, and I'm drunk. I am not even of the age of drinking yet, and I launch my car off a cliff, and that car rolled over, and on this cliff, three big fir trees caught me, the only fir trees you can see from any direction, and they're there. No other trees, nothing, and God planted those trees for his dumb son before I became a believer. Because he's been helping me all along, and he's been helping you. All along, he's been helping you. And you say, oh, he should have helped me here. Well, let me just tell you, he did. Maybe you just didn't know how to see it. And I'm praying today that before we're done, you will see that he's always, always been there. He's always been on your side. Sometimes even when you're not on your side. So let's go back to those three things that he mentions. And David says, this is how I'm getting through this trial. These are things I have to know, that I do know, that I want to declare to you about who God is. He says, the Lord is my light. You know, if you don't know where you're going, you don't need to be afraid, because the Lord does. The idea is he's a light unto my Path, come on, you come on. This is a Pentecostal day. Come on, you jump in there, right? This is that day. And a light unto my feet. So the Lord all along is showing us where to go. He's lighting up the path. You ever been on an airplane? They say, hey, in the likely event that this plane plunges into the ocean at 60,000 miles an hour and we're all screaming and your hair piece is falling off and you know, you've lost your drinks, all that kind of stuff. He says, in the likely event as we fly over the desert that we have a water landing, don't worry because the lights will come on the floor and above the exit so that you can exit the plane. You're going to exit the plane one way or the other, trust me. But those lights are there to intend to at least give you a path in the chaos to get off the plane, to find refuge from whatever is taking place. And God says, look, that's very nice, but it's only a light. But I am the light. I'm the first part of the equation. I am going to show you where to go. I'm going to show you how to move through this life. I'm going to show you the next step. I have a plan for you. Have you heard that somewhere in scripture before? I have a plan for you. Last week we talked about running our course and God says, look, I have a course for you and I'll even light it. I'll show you where your feet should go and where it's dark, don't go there because that's not where I'm leading you, right? But that's just the light. The light on the floor of the plane and above isn't going to make you safe. It's just going to point you to safety, right? Well, that's the first thing. Well, then he says, the Lord is my salvation. Amen. He's the Savior. Like, if the lights come on in the plane, but you're pinned, and all of a sudden the Hulk comes in and pulls the seats out and carries you out of the plane following the light, now you're in a better position. And this is what God has done. You know, David's talking about a Savior, and Jesus hadn't come yet. But he really is speaking about God and even God the Son who would come and be the Savior. We're going to see that in a minute. He's got a little prophetic piece coming in here and we'll talk about it. But he says this, the salvation, and he's looking forward unto Jesus Christ. We have been saved. But you know, we've been being saved even before we were saved. Because I got to tell you, people are pretty fragile. You know that, right? We die when a bee stings you or you get peanut oil or I mean, 1,001 different things. Just recently, I was doing something and I was thinking and I was driving and I'm like, I just ran a red light. Don't tell Phil. Like, but you know, and I did. I didn't even touch the brakes. I just streamed through that thing and I went through the other side and then I looked around for cops and looked around to say, okay, I'm still alive. My heart was beating a little bit faster. It was not a good thing, right? And the Lord has been saving us over and over and over again. But the salvation he's really talking about here is the salvation that comes in a relationship with him. And it's eternal, not waiting in the future, but occurring now from the day that you come to him. And he, David's got this idea. He hadn't even seen the Messiah, and he believes in the Messiah more than people who have already come after the time that the Messiah has come, was seen by the whole world, died on the cross and resurrected. He says, I know the Messiah. I already believe in the Messiah. I haven't seen the Messiah. He hasn't come yet. It doesn't matter. You're my salvation. And I think that's a big piece for us. You know, God has been lighting our path. He has offered salvation in so many ways, but ultimately for eternity. And have you found eternal salvation in Jesus? If you have, then the rest of this is going to make a lot of sense. But then he goes further than that. So he said, great, I'm saved. I know where I'm supposed to go, but I can't do it on my own. Amen. You finally come to the place where victory is going to happen. You've got to get to that point. You've got to get to the point where you say, I can't do this on my own. I can't make this all work. I'm not smart enough, strong enough, wise enough. I don't have enough energy, enough money, enough talent, enough time, whatever you might think it is. But the real thing is you have an enemy. And you also are battling the old nature within. And God says, look, I'm going to be your light. I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to show you the path that you should take. I've set it before you. I'm going to get you there. I've given you salvation, so you have me with you. But I'm going to give you more than me with you. I'm going to give you the strength to do it. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Say a little Pentecostal. Yay. I'm thanking God for Jody right now, right? Right. So the truth is that there are battles and rough patches in everyone's life. You're going to go through them. You're going to walk through them. If you haven't been through them, you've got some coming. If you've been through them and recovered, you probably still got more coming. It's just part of the life, right? And sometimes we hear another's testimony, we wonder how they got through it. Like, have you ever been there where you're listening to a testimony and you're like, God, how did they make it? Well, I can tell you how. It's not by their might. It's not because, you know, and some people say, well, I'm just a perseverer. Yeah, that's true. There are some people who are a little more robust. You know, some get a hangnail and it's the end of the world. Others can go through a lot in their road, but nobody can get through this life unscathed. And nobody can navigate everything they want apart from some help. And you're getting help right now, even if you don't know it. But God is the source of the strength that you and I need. And David says, I know that. I need that. I want that. And I have it. And so here I'm acknowledging it. You're the strength. You're the one who gets me through. You know, the Bible says that David killed his tens of thousands. We've talked about this recently. It's not that in battle he actually killed the tens of thousands, but God led him through so many battles and brought him back. Do you think David said, man, I'm just awesome? No, he doesn't. He comes through and he tells us in the Psalms, says, God, you've done it. You've delivered me. You got me home. You made this happen. You're the one who constantly is doing this for us because we can't do this. But because you're doing it, I will be brave. I will be valiant. I will go. He knew his source of strength. And so he's writing the song. And I would say in the end, you know, he concludes that he's not afraid at all. He says, I'm not afraid. Because I know who the source of light is, who my salvation is, where my strength comes from. I get it. I'm not afraid. And I would ask you, are you afraid? Are you operating in a portion of your life where you're fearful? Fearful of commitment? Fearful of the future? Fearful of your ability or your waning ability as we get older? It just happens, right? Some of you are increasing in strength. Some of us are not. It's going the other direction, right? But has your confidence in what the Lord does, it's who he is what he's offered you, has it grown to the point where you refuse to fear? Like, I'm not going to be afraid. I know fear is trying to get a hold of me. No. Go somewhere else. We read that in Hebrews 2. It told us that for fear of death, they were in bondage all their life. Are you afraid of death? The Lord would say, look, I've lit your path. I know your course. I know your salvation. I'm going to take you home. I'll give you strength to even do that, to pass from here to there. You shouldn't be afraid. Nobody should be afraid. But many people are afraid. Even inside of the church, they operate out of fear. And God says, that's not the path I have for you. David says, I'm not doing that. I know what I know about you, and I refuse to be afraid. I hope you'll adopt that. The Bible tells us his love is perfect, and then it tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. If you understand the way that God loves you, you can stop being afraid. And I pray for some of you today that you will stop being afraid. Afraid of failing, afraid of saying the wrong thing, afraid of all these things that are before you, because so many people live in that place, and it's a terrible place to live, and it's not what God has for you. He is the light. He is your salvation. He is your strength. Tap into who he is and what that means for you. Verse 4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, David would say, is that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. You know, I just want to pause there for a quick second. Remember when David's saying this, the temple or the tabernacle first, and the temple does exist. And there, the Ark of the Covenant had the mercy seat where God resided with his people. And what David is saying is, wherever you are, this is the desire of my life, every day of my life, not just eternal life. He's talking about the current life. He says, I just want to dwell where you're at. That's the whole desire of my heart. It's not the place he's talking about. It's the person. You get that? Because he wanted to be where God was. He said, I just want to be there, and I want to inquire of you, and I want to speak with you, and I just want to dwell with you all. I would like to stay right here in the temple. Guess what? If the ark was taken out and the mercy seat was somewhere else and God was there, that's where he would want to be. It's not about the place, but it's the place that God had established to meet with his people. You know, honestly, I love that Wade says every week, Sunday, best day of the week. And in some ways, it would be great if we never had to leave here and we could just go on adventures and come back to the home base here and we dwelled together all with other people of the same mind. And in some ways, it wouldn't. You'd get tired of each other. You're people. All people have problems, right? But, if Jesus was dwelling here, we wouldn't have enough space, right? Because those who love him would just say, I'm not going anywhere. I don't need to eat. I don't need to go home. Forget the car. I'm right here. This is where I want to be. And that's what David is saying while acknowledging that he has to go out and run the course that God has set before him, just like you and I. We have to go out and run the course. And he says, but this is my heart's desire. I just want to be where I'm with God. Great desire. Hopefully it's our desire. Verse 5 picks up, for in the time of trouble, he, capital H, speaking of God, shall hide me in his pavilion. Oh, that's, now wait a minute, that's kind of cool. In my times of trouble, God's going to hide me in the place where he's at. It's him, again, not the place, him. And he goes on to say, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So many incredible things. It's true that one day we're going to enter heaven forever because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's if you've received him. If you haven't, you're not going to. Salvation comes through Jesus alone. There is no other way that man must be saved. And it's must, not should, it must. God is calling you to salvation. But if you have, one day, that's where we're going to go. And if you have, it should be your desire to be with him there. I mean, that's what he keeps saying. When you're in trouble, set your mind on those things that are above. When you're going through your regular workday, set your mind on those things which are above. When you're on your vacation, set your mind on those things which are above. No matter what the circumstances, set your mind on where he is. And one day that you will physically be in the presence with him, while at the same time, appreciating the life that he is giving you the strength to live out now and the course you're to run now, all that. But David is bringing this up to point out that in the time of trouble, and I hope you'll hear me here, especially if you've already, you know, we've kind of lit up your testimony and you're replaying some of those hard pieces of life. I hope you understand that in the time of trouble, God can whisk us away to be with him in thought and in spirit. And this is a really real need for a lot of people who find themselves in a hard time. It could be a hard home life, you know, and we've done a lot of work with kids in the schools who live in a home that they can't quite get out of. They're not old enough to move. The system won't quite take them, but terrible things happen to them in those homes. And God says, look, I can hide you away in the secret place in that time. Or a betrayal. And God says, look, I know your heart is broken and you don't know what you're going to do right now. But I'm going to hide you away in this secret place with me. I can do that. I can bring you here to be with me, to tuck you away. You know, and you can go through a list. It can be a battle. It can be a war. It can be an illness of the mind or the body. It can be severe loss, abandonment, loneliness. You know how many people have been lonely? They said, oh, I'm so lonely. And God says, just come be with me. Let me tuck you away in the secret place that I am, that we could be together. It could be financial hardships. I mean, we could go through a list because life has a list of difficult things to go through, right? But God says, look, there's a secret place in me, not just with, in me. And you can come and be with me here in the midst of this trial, of the difficulty, of the powerful things. And I think many of us right now could actually go back and think about the times that God has just tucked us away, hidden us, when everything around us looks like it's on fire. And we're going, how do you fix this? How do I get through this period of time to get to the other side? And you know how you get through there? You let God tuck you away. And it's something he's offering for us. He has been faithful to hide our hearts and souls when the flesh and mind are suffering. Can I get an amen? Little Pentecostal, here come my amen. Do it one more time. Amen? Yeah. God, this feels good, you know, just saying. And he can do that. Because in this world, you're going to go through hard times. But God hasn't left you alone. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. That is the promise. He doesn't say he's going to take you away from every trial in the world, because I'll tell you, some of the trials are your testimony. The very testimony that we called on the two ladies that night to give before I preached this message, it caused people to come to salvation in Jesus Christ. But he'll tuck you away. He'll let you sit in his lap. It's powerful. You know, he's reminding me of something a couple of years ago. Oof, real. I was going through this time going, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. I'm doing the best I can, and it doesn't feel like enough, and I can't fix it. I can't fix my wife. I can't fix this situation. I can't help her. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I watched one of those stupid singing shows on TV, and it was great. And there was this Oriental young guy who sang this song that I'm sure is secular and the meaning is completely opposite of how God gave it to me. But the lyrics over and over again is, may I lay by your side next to you. Man, that song just stuck with me. And God just put that in my heart. And every time this would get hard, I would begin to just sing that over and over. And I could hear God say, you just come right here. You lay right here. Whew. Whoa, Holy Spirit, wasn't me. No, just kidding. And it was powerful. He tucked me away. He said, I know, Rob, I'm not going to change the circumstances. This is what's going on. But yes, you can come lay right here with me in the secret place. You can come find shelter. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will re-energize you. I'm going to give you what you need to get through this. But for right now, I see it. Just come. Just lay right next to me. Take a nap. Everybody's going, that sounds like a good idea. And I did. And I have to tell you, for months, that the same lyrics, just these simple, short lyrics, became the cry of my heart. And God's response was, you come. You come. I'll tuck you away. Whew. And I'm betting you've had those moments. I hope you've had those moments, because I know you've had the trials. I know you have. And I know you will. And God says, I have a secret place for you to come. You just come. And I believe David got a little prophetic here. I kind of hinted at this already, you know, because there was no literal rock in the temple. He's talking about the temple. He's talking about the mercy seat of God coming and being in the presence of God. And he says, and you're going to place me high upon the rock. Okay, interestingly enough, it could be that he's talking about the high ground because of battle. But I don't think so. I think because David will do this many times. There's nobody who gives more prophecy, no book that has more prophecy than the book of Psalms. And I think David is prophesying here of the rock in Jesus Christ. Again, he's looking forward to the salvation that you and I have. And we know that when Jesus came, we didn't have to go into the temple anymore. We became the temple of the living God. What a powerful place. Every day we have refuge if we want it. Every day. And I think David longed for that. He spoke of it. We should know of it. Verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up. Literally, lifted up in honor is actually the best translation. My head shall be lifted up in honor. And remember, he's in battle against those who are trying to bring dishonor to him, trying to destroy him. And he says, but God, now my head will be lifted up in honor because I've been with you above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I love that. What do we do this morning? What do we do every time we come together? We sing praises to the Lord. And he goes on to say, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. God, will you answer me? When you hear my voice, will you respond? And he goes on to say, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I'm going to seek you, Lord. That's what you want? That's what I need at this point? You said, come to you in that time of worship and seek you and seek your face. That's what it means to seek an audience with God, a face-to-face meeting. We say that all the time. We had a face-to-face, not a Instagram to Instagram, you know, whatever that is. And this is what he's saying. He says, seek a one-on-one with me. And David said, yeah, invitation accepted. I'm coming, right? And so powerful. And we should worship when we found refuge and deliverance in him. We should worship in all of those seasons. You know, if it's a secular song, you turn into a call for Jesus and you make those lyrics holy, great. If it's that time you cry out and he meets your need, and you know how sad it is when you say, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to pay my house bill. God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And the money comes and you go, man, I don't know where this money came from. V8 moment. I can tell you where it came from. I can tell you where that deliverance came from. And when it comes, we should worship, but we shouldn't just worship then. We should worship when we need refuge and deliverance from him. Like we're saying, we need this. It hasn't come yet. I'm going to worship now. And I really pray this will become the pattern of our lives. This is what David is saying. You told me to seek your face in battle. I'm going to seek your face, and I'm going to start by worshiping you, and I'm going to come into your presence through worship. And he says, enter his presence through worship. The Bible tells us this very thing. And David says, so I'm in the trial, and I'm going to worship. right? And we always pick on the poor Israelites passing over the Red Sea. And they don't worship on this side before the water is parted and all the Egyptians are coming. They get to the other side, and then they say, hey, we should worship. Wouldn't it have been better if they had worshiped on that side? That's what David is saying. Like, worship on this side of the storm and the other side. When you need deliverance and when you've been delivered, just worship. And then come seek the Lord face to face. And when we worship, he often helps us to see him, to enter into his presence. He says, worship that you might enter into my presence. Here's the face-to-face meeting, the door, worship. Open the door. And as Wade, you're like a hot topic today. As Wade has said multiple times here, worship isn't just singing. Worship, we've seen the doxologies in the book of Revelation. There's these powerful statements of praise over and over again of who God is and our declaration of our trust in him because of who he is. Worship is of the heart. It's of the mouth. It can be of music. It can be whatever it is that you come to worship the Lord in time of deliverance. Is that what you do, or do you complain? Oh, woe is me. I don't know what I will do. How will we ever get through this? This isn't fair. Or do you worship? Lord, if you brought me to this, you'll bring me through this. Lord, if this is your plan, don't remove it from me. Help me to figure out to see what you're doing and working and how I can be involved, how I can learn, how I can grow, how I can further the kingdom, how I can bring you glory. Which of the two approaches do you take? Because you don't probably take a neutral approach. It's so important for us. This seems to be one of those focal pieces, by the way, that we've been hitting over and over again on the mission trip and in our study and everything that God's giving us in Hebrews, that piece the Holy Spirit brings up on a frequent basis. And again, it's seeking the Lord's face, being alone with him, being still, that he may speak. And that we may listen, that we may come to an understanding. And it's fair to say that even when we're worshiping, such as in song and singing, but we're not seeking him, is it really worship? Or is it singing? I like singing, but worship changes things. And when we come to him and we're singing, and it's worship, we're actually seeking an audience of one. I love those lyrics. It's just you and me here now. It's only you and me here now. Why did that impress so many people who were believers to want to keep singing those lyrics? Because they just wanted to be alone with Jesus, even in a crowd, singing the lyrics. And God says, do that. Come to me that way. That's worship. And when you worship me that way, you will find me. Your face-to-face appointment has begun. Amen. Ooh, look at that. It's growing here, right? Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. This is David saying this to God, right? Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When, or more accent, this is a better translation, by the way. I would even encourage you to cross out when in your Bible and put had. That should be the translation. Because David's parents actually never forsook him that we have any record of. And the better accurate translation is, had my father and mother forsaken me, then the Lord will take care of me. Hey, don't turn away from me. Don't hide from me. Lord, I know that you're my help forever. You're my salvation. And had my mother and father or my family or all those people who I'm connected to turned away from me or forsaken me, you won't. You'll take care of me. That's a pretty powerful declaration. And I know there's a lot of people here who have been forsaken. They have. They've gone through difficult times with their family. And their family says, if you follow Jesus anymore, you can't come here. You can't see the grandchildren. If you talk about them, if you pray in front of them, you can't do it. And I know a lot of people have gone through that. But the truth is, even when our trouble is our own doing, And David is acknowledging that too. Like if this is me doing it also, or the doing of our family, God will not turn away from us if we will simply come to him. Your trouble, their trouble, somebody's trouble, anybody caused the trouble, who's the troublemaker, it doesn't matter. The trouble solver, The one who is going to tuck you under his wing is God. And he says, if you will come to me, no matter what the situation is, even if you're familyless now, I will take care of you. If you come, I will. And the Lord is going to take care of us no matter who caused the trouble. Do you know that? I know some people say, oh, you know, I've heard of God and it sounds really great, but you don't know what I've done. I'm like, yeah, he does, and he still loves you. It's so incredible. He shouldn't, right? Like from the human standard, he shouldn't love us. But he can't help himself because he is love. It's who he is. And he says, if you come, I'll take care of you. And I will tell you, you know, one of those verses that has hit me so powerfully throughout my walk with Jesus is, I will never leave you or forsake you. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, God, you're leaving now? I did it. I've gone too far. I don't know how I'm supposed to recover. What? You've been so good to me. What am I? I get it. You're gone. And God says, who are you talking to? You come to me, troublemaker, and I'll care for you. I don't leave. I don't run. I know what trouble is, but I'm the deliverer. And I think some people really need to hear that. They just need to hear it today because they're like, man, I'm living a double life. You don't understand what's going on. I don't know how to fix this. Come to Jesus. He already knows. And he's not going anywhere. And he loves you. You say, I have no family. I'm going to be alone. I'm going to die alone. Only if you want to. Because he ain't going anywhere. He will be your mother, your father, your brother, your uncle. Isn't it so crazy throughout the Bible? He does that very thing. He says, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. He says, for those of you who are fatherless, I'm your father. I'm a father to the fatherless. He says to you, hey, you who are not married, you're the bride and I'm the bridegroom. What relationship does he not fulfill? If you come to him and you have need, he will fulfill it because he is the all in all. Will you receive that? Some people are moping instead of connecting. Connect with the one who is the lover of your soul, who will never go anywhere. That's the call, right? And then verse 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in smooth paths because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me and such as breathe out violence. You know, it's wise and right for us to ask for help. I think there's some people, again, they just kind of get in this place of like, you know, I'm really struggling and you know, there's so many battles going on and I don't know what to do. And you and I as believers, what's the first question we should ask? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Right? It's so funny. People come to me and their marriage is falling apart and they're at each other and they're telling their story. And I'm like, wait. Have you prayed? Starting point. I don't know what to do. I don't have the money for my house payment this month. Can you help me? Sure. Have you prayed? We should get really good at this. I mean, just practice with me. Have you prayed? I mean, this should be the question, right? Like, have you prayed? It is wise for us to ask for help. And I know there's some who are so self-sufficient. Like, no, I do it. You know, I made this mess. I'll clean it. Good luck with that. How about you made the mess, go to the Lord, figure out what the solution is for cleaning it, ask him for help to give you the strength and to show you the way that you should clean it, and then watch that he's not right beside you. You know, recently in the place I live, one of the guys went to the hospital. I've never met the guy, and several ladies who are great ladies, they really want to help, came in to clean his place, and there's a room full of boxes, and they asked me to come take all the boxes out, cut them up, and take them away. He lives alone. He has a room that's filled with boxes. And I looked around and I said, I think he makes his living selling stuff online. They're like, well, yeah, he does. Do you think he might need the boxes for shipping? Oh, for him, right? Well, yeah, let's leave the boxes. But see, when we go to clean it up, even our own messes, and we don't ask for help, you know that a lot of times we clean up what God is actually using to deliver us. Did you see how I did that? Boxes delivery. Wade started with the dad jokes today. I thought he had you primed. I thought you were primed at this point. You didn't? Okay. We'll just let that one slip on by. Ask for help. Ask for help. And we're going to close out here. Verse 13 says, I would have lost heart. Man, how many people have said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait in faith on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, Lord. We're getting more Pentecostal. I'm hearing it. It's coming. It's working. Now he encourages us. He says, trust the Lord. Trust him. I've told you of the comfort that he gives. I told you of the escape he gives, of the strength that he lightens your path, that he's your salvation. Wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. Go to him. Trust. Be encouraged. Let him strengthen your heart. Let him stand you back up. I know some people here are highly discouraged in the situation you're in. You're like, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. David says, I know what you're supposed to do. Wait on the Lord. Worship the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord. Listen to the testimony of some other people who couldn't imagine how they got through 18 years at home, or so many years in a marriage where they were getting beaten up, or in the addiction that they were going through, or in poverty, or whatever it was. Go listen to their testimony. Be encouraged. But more importantly, wait on the Lord. Let him strengthen your heart. Let him tuck you away. Let him hide you away. And worship him before, and worship him after, and worship him in between, and just be with him. That's what David's saying. Man, of everything I need, if I could just be with him all the time, I'd be great. I want to ask you a question. Are you losing hope? Are you losing heart? It's surprising to me sometimes. Somebody will come to me and I have no idea, and they'll say, man, I was even thinking about taking my life. A couple months ago, I was right there on the edge of it. And I go, wow, I didn't know. Like, you hid that so well. Like, yeah, I didn't want anybody to know. And it wouldn't surprise me if somebody in here today is going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Maybe it's just better if I just give up. I'm going to tell you, no, that's not better. Wait upon the Lord. Let him strengthen you. Let him encourage you. Let him light your path. Let him send you forward into the call that he has for you. Receive that from him. Do you believe who God is and that he loves you? If you do not, then you have believed a lie. He absolutely loves you. He wants to strengthen you. He could say to you today, you can pick up the lyrics Rob shared with you. May I lay by your side. And the Lord will say, you come. You come right here in this secret place. I'm going to take care of you. And he will encourage you. And he will deliver you. That's what Savior means. He's a deliverer. From your mess, somebody else's mess, the mess of life, whatever it is that's got you down at this moment, he is there and he wants to tuck you away in that hiding place until he strengthens you enough to get back up and to run. Would you receive that today? Would you be the deliverer of that message for others? It's real. Hope is real. It's a person. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for the word, for the encouragement. I want to thank you for the missionaries who go out and share their testimonies, or people who just inside of their meetings together or with a stranger somewhere say, hey, I have a word for you. And I think the Lord is wanting me to share my testimony and then move on to this part, the part that we just discovered today, that you are the hiding place. You are the Savior. You are the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our path. You are the one who strengthens us and causes us to be able to get up in the morning and put our feet on the floor when it seems like everything is lost or everything is against us, because we know we can never be lost in you. God, we want to thank you so much. We want to thank you that you're constantly encouraging us, that you're maturing us, that you're sending us. But also you say, but look, when that time comes and you need refuge, I am your refuge. Not a refuge, the refuge. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord, thank you. You're so good to us. And because of you, we can celebrate in the storm, before the storm, after the storm, in all these places. Lord, help us to be worshipers, those who worship you and in spirit and in truth. And we just ask now that as we come into this time of singing and worship, that each one of us would seek a face-to-face with you. We know the invitation has been given. Lord, would you help us just to find ourselves in that place where we're before you and we're singing of you and to you and about you and offering real worship to a real God who really loves us. And Lord, I just ask before we do that, you would indulge me as I just give an invitation to anybody who's here today. Just running the race of life, just going from one thing to the next, hoping you can always keep ahead, hoping somehow by your ingenuity and your finances and all the things that you're trying so hard to do right, but you haven't come to Jesus. I would say, would you come find rest, assurance for your soul? Would you come to him? Would you just say, Jesus, I've heard enough, I believe. I receive you as my Savior today. I come to you and I just say, God, thank you for loving me. And that's exactly what he desires to do. And he will not turn you away, no matter where you've been. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise now. And we come to another time of worship in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen, amen. Well, thank you, Rob. And I guess Rob's getting to know me too well. Either that or I just repeat myself a lot, which is okay too. And I know that some things are definitely worth repeating, that Jesus is King and we want to get together and we want to worship him on Sundays. And that's what makes Sunday the best day of the week. And it's not because, not just because most people have a day off and we don't have to go to work, and not just because during football season, that's when all the football games are played on Sunday, right? Those are good things. But the real good thing is that we get to worship together and fellowship together with Jesus. So one of the ways that we're going to do that today is we're going to enter into a time of worship through gathering together at the Lord's table. If you don't have a communion cup, you probably received one on the way in. But if you don't have one, flag down Todd or Trevor, and they're going to get you one here. But we are going to enter into this time of worship and fellowship with the Lord. And I was thinking about this, it seems like every time that we get to do this on Sunday, the best day of the week, right? And we're doing communion, so it's one of the best. But there's this little voice that comes in and says, you're not worthy. You don't deserve to come and accept this from the Lord. And the truth is, I'm not worthy, and I don't deserve it. But that's the good news about the grace of God, is that it's open to all, and it's unmerited favor. We don't have to earn it or deserve it. We can't. It's something that Jesus did for us willingly on our behalf, to die on a cross and to be raised again to new life on the third day. And so we want to take some time now to come to Jesus, to come to his table. And if you are in a place where you feel like you're not worthy, it's okay. Bring everything to the Lord. Bring your hardships, your difficulties, your sin, everything to him, and he will make you whole again. So we want to come to this place of the table. Go ahead and hold on to your communion cup until we're done singing this song, and then when we get back together, we'll take the communion together.
Of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. Well, there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? And bring it all to the table. Sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry. hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. All your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
Amen. And at that table, Jesus took bread, and after he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you." Let's all take the bread together. Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup together. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to be outdoors today in this beautiful weather to worship you, Lord, to proclaim your goodness and your truth to a lost and dying world, Lord. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that it gives us to fellowship together, to hear from you and to worship you, Lord. You alone are worthy of our worship and worthy of all praise, Lord. And this is just one way that we like to worship you, Lord. There's so many ways, and we want to do everything as that we do in worship to you, Lord. But Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity to participate in this table, this fellowship that we have with you, Lord, and know and recognize what that means for us, Lord. It means our salvation, not because we are saved through taking it, but we're saved because of the reality of your shed blood and your body on the cross, Lord, given for us. And so we thank you, Lord, for this truth and this reality. Thank you that you save us, Lord. Thank you for that grace that we can never earn. Lord, help us to love you more fully. Help us to come to you. And as Rob said, help us to come to you in prayer. Have you prayed when the storms of life come, Lord? Because we know that they do come. And so, Lord, we want to just give you our hearts, give you everything that we have, Lord, as we celebrate this truth of communion, Lord. And Lord, we're so grateful that it didn't end there, that you were raised to new life on the third day, and that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you live to pray for us and make intercession for us, Lord. Wow. And Lord, we want to honor you in all that we do. So as we continue in this time of worship through song, Lord, we're so grateful that you love us. And Lord, we need you. Help us to honor you in all that we do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you'd like to stand with us and close out, we're going to sing this song, Jesus Loves Me, before we send you out into the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us, Lord. Thank you that your word tells us that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, Lord, and that God demonstrates his love for us in that. Absolutely. And Lord, we're so grateful for that truth, so grateful for your word and for you and just for this time of fellowship that we've had today, Lord. I pray that you would be blessed and glorified, that your people would be just emboldened, Lord, to go out and tell people about you. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and pray these things in your mighty and matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for coming today and celebrating our Lord together and worshiping together. I want to pray the benediction over you. Where are we meeting for prayer? If people need prayer, where are we sending them? Right over there. There's Ron. Go see Ron. And you can even sit on the swing with Ron. It'll be great. Okay. But the rest of you, if you will bow your heads and hearts before you send you out in the mission field, I'd just like to pray over you. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus, overflowing you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Amen.